My name's Kathy and I'm an addict.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, guys. And so first of all, thank you to the chair finder, Shelley, for asking me. She's feeling poorly. She's got a fever. So if you can all, you know, at some point tonight, if you can kind of like spare a few minutes and send all our, a little bit of love that way, I'm sure it will help. Thank you, Desmond. Lovely chair, really. That was such a lovely chair. Very emotional, very connected, and really succinct as well about addiction and recovery. Thank you very much. I'm really nervous. Yeah, very nervous. And I'm quite tired, to be honest. I only work 2 days a week for that time. So being in the midst of this step nine, I'm right in the midst of those feelings. And so my beginnings, they weren't very, very, They were quite traumatic, and I like to say that first of all, so that you can prepare yourself, kind of thing. Certainly from my very close and deep women friends in recovery, I know I'm not the only person that comes from a place of trauma. And sometimes I can be sitting in a meeting, and you know, we can get into the habit that we just start saying stuff. You know, we start saying stuff that we wouldn't, well, some people would say it out there, you know, but sometimes it can feel just a bit too full on. And I want to run out, you know, I want to leave the room, I think. Flipping heck, I didn't come into recovery to get traumatised, thank you very much. I've had quite enough of that. And, Right, so, I was drinking when I was at primary school. And I wasn't daily drinking right then. Certainly by the time I was 11, I was a daily drinker. I'd have periods of time, you know, of a month, a few weeks, where I'd be daily drinking, then I'd stop, you know, get distracted. I was always distracted very easily. And I didn't realise this at the time. A lot of this is in retrospect. Even that really early primary school, drinking, you know, as a little kiddie, 6 and 7. And I felt the alcohol take the pain away, took the hurt away. Instead of walking around with this hurt inside of me. And the hurt was about, there's a lot of my childhood was really lovely, beautiful. I grew up in Hertfordshire, in this big old house that was falling down because we couldn't afford to live in it, and we couldn't sell it. And my mum and dad's divorce, separation and divorce, was really messy. So we had to go through the courts of 2 different lands, and we didn't have any choice. And my mum felt very powerless and very angry. And she probably had undiagnosed mental health problems. And there was me and my brother and my sister, Alice and Ben. And she abused us each in different ways, which through this step nine, I'm going to be having a conversation. My brother died. I'm going to be having a conversation with my sister about this. We've never talked about this. We've never talked about what it did to us, about how this, you know, one of the cruelties of that abuse was that it split us up. If we'd all been abused in the same way, we could have related to each other, kind of thing. But even that, you know, that controlling. And as a result, it's generational. I've done a lot of healing. In NA, you know, we get to find our own spiritual path and our own spiritual understanding. And of course, the family abuse came from generations. The same as the addiction came from generations. There were gamblers, there were pill takers, there were drinkers, you know, right down the line. And, over many generations on both sides of the family. And so a lot of the spiritual practice and the therapy that I've done has been around a generational healing. I met an old manager of mine. You know, the woman who sits here today bears really very little resemblance to the woman that came into recovery. I met an old manager of mine a few years ago. And I've been in recovery 11 years. I've been clean for 11 years now. And it's only NA that has got me clean and kept me clean. It's only NA that has got me clean, kept me clean. It is because I was in recovery before. And right in the early 80s, couldn't get a sponsor in NA. You couldn't, you know, it was very different in the early 80s. It was out in the sticks. And the old AAers, they wouldn't sponsor us druggies, you know. My experience of AA, you know, the mothership, very different from other people's. My experience is they barred the doors to us, you know. Let's have this right. You know, and the addicts that have been sticking around NA for many, many years, they are the people I look for. You know, I look towards and have my gratitude to. So the only thing that has got me clean, kept me clean, is NA, 12 steps of NA, having a sponsor, having commitments, forming spiritual friendships with other people that are doing all of those things. Get that right. And where was I? I did the generational stuff. I've completely lost myself now. So I started using and I didn't stop. Really, basically, really simply. It was very tragic. Was ever so tragic, lots of it, you know. This little kid who just didn't know. And I loved drugs. Oh, let's not forget, I loved the drugs. It may well have been tragic for people looking on. However, I thought it was marvellous. I really did. You know, I totally committed to this idea. The very first chair I ever did, I talked for 45 minutes about the wonderful exploits of drug use. It was just the adventures. And they were lovely. They included smuggling. I used to work as a cooking crew. And I talk about this stuff because I bring this into my recovery. You know, I like that being a bit lawless stuff. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I go on the marches. I would, if I were younger, I'd be, yes. A bit of criminal damage would go in there in recovery. But I'm an old person, so I don't do that. so there was, you know, I'd get jobs, I'd have a little dream. This is another thing. You know, in recovery, you get to have dreams, make plans, and achieve them and keep on dreaming. When I was using, I'd have these wonderful ideas and these dreams I really wanted to achieve. I worked as a cook and crew on the boat, and I thought, wow, yeah, this is going to be wonderful, sailing around the Aegean. You get flown out there, first of all, while you're working. You get given a couple of weeks' break while the drugs are taken off the boat. Do you know? And after all this stuff, you get paid. I got paid, quite a lot of money, and of course got a serious habit. Got all marked up, couldn't work on the boats anymore. And, my drug using and my lifestyle, they destroyed each my drug using and my lifestyle destroyed any kind of dreams and ambitions that I would want, that I would have. And also, I was thinking about this as well, about how much I liked danger, this stuff in this really abusive place. And stuff, so I really liked danger. And that, I had to deal with in recovery as well. Because us addicts, we can, you can see us when we're working in a hostel, Some psycho kicks off, in flat number 16. The addict says, I'll go and sort him out. Don't worry, don't have to call the police. I can sort that out. Never a problem with me. He's armed up in there. And I'm going on my own. The rest of the team is saying, no, we don't do that. I just say, oh, yes. I was really good. When I was using, I was also a drugs worker. But also in recovery, I was. Well, of course. And I still find, I have a little bit of, oh dear, I should probably shouldn't. I don't like the criminalisation. I don't like how we're criminalised. That's okay. My politics have come into recovery with me as well. And, and when, being more of, I don't want to say I'm a completely whole person, because I'm sure I will become more whole as my recovery goes along. But being, I am a very whole person, And when I take that into campaigning and into the drug using scene, that part of my whole person is that I am in 12-step NA recovery, and that isn't to be frightened, people are not to be frightened of that. If people really want to minimise harm, go and get some 12-step recovery. Yeah. I love it when Desmond was talking about, because I was in recovery, this thing that I was in recovery for a few years in the early 80s, And then I relapsed, and I didn't come back. I didn't come back for 17 long, horrible years. The using, after having a little bit of recovery, the using was no more. It certainly was not exciting. It really was, I call it that, flatline using. And so I really love here, when I hear now, and we really see it a lot now, because, of course, for many people, newcomers, do not think I'm saying you have to relapse. No one, I'm not telling you that you can go out and use, that you have to do that to have a bit of recovery. The things people say about people's chairs is called. Yes. You know who you are. Relapse often is part of this illness. And as NA has grown up, and there are more of us, there's an increased amount of acceptance with an increased number of people, with an increased number of years. There's increased acceptance. There's increasingly, we don't judge each other. increasingly you have those lovely sayings, we don't shoot our wounded. It's a huge saying, that one. Because we're, you know, most of us are wounded in some way. My boyfriend sitting over there. I'll talk about him later. So I see people coming in, and then they relapse, and they come back the next day. They come back the next day and get multiples and continued recovery. You know, people come back, they find their way. And I'm sure Desmond, you know, as you were talking, I could... may not seem like this to you, but to me, this is what I heard. that your relapsing changed as you went on. You know, when you were talking about how your family trust you more, because the youth that are relapsing these days and stuff, it gets, there's a word for it. There's a word up in the sponsees. When we change the drugs and the substances that we use, so we relapse, but even when we relapse, because we have a little bit of recovery, our behaviour and our using and our relapsing isn't as bad as it was when we had no recovery at all. You know, I've lost far too many people in recovery to relapse. I've lost far, and I'm seeing people that that have great, you know, that stay out longer in relapse and they lose their mental health. That's so sad. You know, sometimes the tragedy is that we don't die. I'll talk a little bit. I've got some notes here. I better write something down. I'm working. Better write something down. I've got a bit about step one and a bit about step 10. Don't know what happens in between. Get those two, you'll be all right. So step one. Right, so it's not about substances for me. In the early 80s, it was all about the substances. It's really good now that I hear in meetings and in other people's recovery, in this thing that it isn't all about the substances. Because I came in this time, and I knew it wasn't going to be about the substances. Because I remembered from the words, you know, that we're powerless over addiction, the first half of the first step, and all the rest. You know, so that kind of led me to believe it wasn't going to be all about the substances. And, that this thing, that in this recovery, yeah. So what was I going to do when I came back after 17 years on methadone? Was I going to do a whole load of writing about 17 years of boring methadone? You know, I knew it had to be something a little bit more than that. Yeah, it felt lightweight. What are you trying to get a vein up? I do like recovery with a bit of weight to it, you know, that goes a bit deeper than the substances. And that's not, you know, there's stuff that we hear about, and Andy often says about Pete being powerless over people, places, and things. Which I've never particularly liked. You know, it grates on me when people say, oh, powerless over people, places, and things. I just think, it just feels like there's something wrong with that same saying. And I find finally, I got it during my step 9. You know what? And Desmond talked about it. You know what? I'm powerless over. You know, I may well be powerless over you. Actually, I can have that. That's your life. Do you know what I mean? That's not really going to bother me that much. What bothers me is me and my life. What really bothers me is how I talk to myself about me and my life. The language I use. That's the stuff that I have. And when I'm in that, that's when I have to reach out to a higher power. Because I cannot. I'm lost in that on my own. I have to reach out, find a way to connect to a loving higher power. Happens really quickly as well. Once I get connected, it's like, bang, you're on it. Do you know what? My heart opens up. I feel completely different. Freedom instantly. And that's my step 1, 2, and 3. Happened. This is when I get to talk about you, Andy. So me and Andy, yeah, we don't live together, but we've been together, so I don't know, what, about 6 years now. And a few years ago, because as well, with that step 1 and 2, that stuff, I can, you know, I become insane, and I can suddenly realise I'm insane and become not insane. And it happens that quickly. And so I'd be... It does. So I've been with Andy and I've been spending a lot of time with him. And I was in the kitchen with him one day and I woke up. I came to. And I looked at him and I thought, who are you? For 3 months, I had made up this person. And I'd been in a relationship, I mean, full on in a relationship with this person that was just a figment of my imagination. And can you imagine him? I mean, thank God he's got solid recovery, because he was in a relationship with someone who thought, my goodness. When I'm with people, when I'm with people and they're not, is it 5 minutes already? I'll be quick. This is my step 9 stuff. So when I'm with people and they're a bit mad about who they think other people are, you know, their connection to reality is really tenuous and they're going through that phase, I feel almost seasick. He'd had 3 months of it. He didn't dump me. He didn't judge me. He didn't get angry with me. He kept on with his program and he had faith and he believed, as long as I kept on going to meetings, as long as I kept on seeing my sponsor, as long as I kept working my steps, eventually I would come to. In recovery, going potty and still coming to. That's lovely. And, so this step 9, because I've, you know, clearly, you know, in through these years, I've been through the steps a few times in different ways. And although this is the first time that I've been going through the steps through the green and gold, and I'm writing a bit, and this is purely, you know, writing about addiction and recovery from in recovery, not a substance insight. And so this step 9, very moving. After 11 years of working the steps, working this program, getting close to people, revealing myself, getting close to myself, having a lot of therapy. You know, I have been in it. Yeah, a person like me, I have open access to NHS therapy. It's much cheaper for them. And therapists love me. Recovery lights us up. Therapists, oh, they love me. I have all these people not in recovery coming. They love it. Right, so this step 9, you know, it is not about walking a mile in someone else's shoes. It's about walking a mile in my hurt shoes and being able to do that. And being able to talk to the people who couldn't come near me because of my hurt shoes. And just saying that I ain't got the hurt shoes now. What about yours? What about yours? Let me love you. And it's a very sobering time. Yeah, I think I'm going to end there. It's lovely. Thank you, guys.